Welcome to the Aquarimax Audio Show with Russ and Kelly. We provide information on all kinds of aquarium-related topics.
This is episode 15, recorded August 24th, 2009. Hey, everybody.
Hello.
We're back once again.
And today is our first podcast about a plant.
Yes, an aquatic plant.
Of course.
Yes. And I've kept aquatic plants for quite a long time now, and starting probably, I don't know, more than 20 years ago, I imagine, something like that. But we haven't talked about them yet, so it's about time we did. So we're going to talk about Anubias, which is often pronounced inexplicably Anubis, which is actually the jackal god of ancient Egypt.
Which you aren't going to be keeping in your fish tank. He wouldn't fit.
That's probably true. Nor would he be likely to approve. So, yeah, we're not going to be talking about Anubis, the jackal-headed Egyptian god. This is our official disambiguation. There. We're talking about Anubias, the plant. If you want to pronounce it Anubias or Anubis, go ahead. We're not going to fault you. But
we won't hear it.
Yes, we won't hear it. Doesn't matter. Okay. Anyway.
Okay, Russ, what is this plant good for?
Well, this is...
Besides skulking around Egyptian cemeteries.
Okay, no more Egypt jokes.
Sorry.
Just kidding. Okay. Anubias is a great plant for almost any situation. It can be grown in high light tanks. It can be grown in low light tanks. It can be grown with supplemental CO2 or, get this, without supplemental CO2. It can be grown in tanks with naughty fish. And it can be grown in tanks with peaceful fish. It can be grown in almost any tank you can possibly imagine.
That's
except maybe not your gas tank.
No, not the gas tank.
Okay.
But that sounds pretty generalized. So it's kind of a good all-purpose, good for beginners starting out keeping plants.
Yes. See, many times people suggest for beginners that they should purchase Java fern or Java moss. I agree wholeheartedly, and yet I pause to reflect why they often forget to mention Anubias among, because out of those two plants that it's hard to kill, Java moss and Java fern, they're forgetting the third of the two plants, which is Anubias. It's awesome. Okay.
Apparently Anubias also makes people goofy.
Yes, it's a great plant. So you should keep it if you ever thought you might want to keep a plant in an aquarium that wasn't plastic. They're probably easier to keep than plastic plants.
Okay, speaking of keeping,
mm-hmm.
You said about tank mates, most fish are fine with it. Are there any that they shouldn't be with?
Well, yes, I should clarify that. There are fish that will eat your Anubias, that will reduce it to a pile of shredded vegetal matter in moments. But things like pacus, yes, they will eat it. Single-tailed goldfish may eat it. Any outrageously vegetarian fish, mbunas, you know, the African Rift Lake cichlids, most of them would probably eat it. Some fish that are just completely unforgiving with plants of any sort may eat it. But they have rather tough leaves, and so a lot of fish that would bug most other plants and even devour most other plants will often leave Anubias alone. I have some with some single-tailed goldfish, or not single-tailed goldfish, double-tailed goldfish like blackmoors and orandas and stuff. They leave it alone completely. It's totally fine.
It flowers even in the tank.
Yeah, and it'll even flower in the tank for you. Yeah, we'll get to that a little later. But I have some with, you know, bristlenose plecostomus. They do fine in it. They're usually pretty gentle on plants, too. But, you know, tankfuls of breeding plecostomus where there are babies nibbling on every square centimeter of surface area in the tank constantly does fine in there. It does really well. So unless it is one of, you know, the big, highly vicious fish as far as plants are concerned, it'll probably do fine. So, you know, a lot of the cichlids or other fish that will eat other plants could leave Anubias alone in a lot of cases.
Okay. What kind of materials do we need to have before we get the plant? What do we need to have set up for it as far as materials go?
Well, you need some water in a container, and it needs to be getting enough light, I guess. So really, if you have any tank that's going to keep fish in it, Anubias will probably do fine. And that's even if you only have ambient light in the tank, unless it's really super dim. I mean, this plant will thrive in light that Java moss, in my experience, will barely hang on. And that's saying a lot, because Java moss is a tough plant that doesn't need much light at all. But I've had tanks, I had a tank that was kept in a basement with essentially no outside light hitting the tank. There was just an 18-watt bulb over a 20-gallon high. That's not a lot of light, folks. It's less than a watt per gallon. And I know Java moss will sometimes do really well in less than a watt per gallon, but the Java moss in this tank did okay. You know, it was okay, but it didn't grow really lushly and thickly or anything, but it did okay, and it did grow. But the Anubias in the tank just took off and was doing really well. I tried to put a Java fern in that tank. I had to take it out because it wasn't really growing in that tank. But the Anubias, like I said, did really well. So really low light from less than 1 watt per gallon. I've kept it in tanks up to, you know, 2 or 3 watts per gallon. And it did fine in there too. The only difference is if there's higher wattage in the tank, you probably want to put it in a shady spot or have a really effective algae crew, because algae will grow in the leaves if it gets too much light. It won't really hurt the plant.
But it doesn't look as nice.
But it doesn't look as nice. As far as things like substrate or whatever, you can grow it in a tank without any gravel or anything like that on the bottom of the tank, or you can put substrate in there. I've found, of course, that it does best attached to something. Most people attach it to something because the plant really has a root and it has a rhizome. The rhizome is kind of a twisted sort of branching structure from which the roots protrude and go down. Never cover the rhizome with the substrate. And you shouldn't even actually bury the roots. You let the roots find the substrate if you have any. But it's best to let, you know, you need to leave the rhizome out of the substrate or it can rot and kill a plant. That's about the only way you can kill an Anubias, sort of a flamethrower or a nuclear bomb, is to bury its rhizome. And as far as substrate goes, I found that Anubias does really well if it's attached to like a lava rock or a piece of driftwood or something like that. Use a rubber band or some thread or something until it attaches. It takes a few weeks to attach, and then remove whatever you use to attach it with. And then the roots are allowed to grow down into the substrate. I found they do really well that way. But I've also had them where they don't really go down to the substrate, and as long as I add a little bit of trace element mix, you know, fertilizer for aquariums, specifically for aquariums, folks, you add a little bit of that trace element mix according to the package directions, it'll also do really well. If you don't put the trace element mix in, you really want to have some substrate with some nutrients in it. Eventually, without that, Anubias won't do as well. They'll still do okay, but they'll start to fade. Some of their older leaves will fade, and the younger leaves will look okay. That usually, if the older leaves start to get yellow, they're missing a nutrient, and so either that trace element mix or a nutrient-rich substrate like Floraite or any EcoComplete or any of those you know, substrates made for planted tanks will do fine as far as materials go.
All right.
That said, though, I've had Anubias do just fine in a tank without any special substrate, without any trace element dosing, do fine for months before they even looked like they were slightly uncomfortable. So depending on how slow they grow is also a factor. Plant with less light will grow more slowly and therefore lack nutrients. It'll take longer for it to run out of nutrients because it's growing so slowly. So if you have one like in an unheated bowl, unheated goldfish type bowl, of course you wouldn't have goldfish in a bowl, but it might take, you know, years before it needed anything. So there you go.
Okay, what about sources for finding our Anubias? Can you just get it at the pet store?
You can. Some pet stores will take it. A lot of times they will bury the roots in the substrate, or they'll come potted, or things like that. As long as the rhizome is out of the substrate, or you rescue it before it's been there for very long, you should be okay. If you find the one that's been there for a while, I would kind of advise against it, because there could be some rot going on in the rhizome or in the roots or something if it's been buried for any length of time. But if it's been there maybe, you know, a week or less, you're probably okay. You can probably rescue it. I would recommend, though, just getting one bare root or attached to driftwood or a rock, either in one of the better aquarium stores that knows what they're doing, or online. You're going to have better luck that way than if you're trying to get one that's been buried in the substrate for a while.
Okay, and when we go to find one, what do we look for when we're choosing an Anubias?
Well, if you're online, they'll usually have a picture, and like I said, you can look at it and see what it looks like. Make sure the root's not covered up. The plants should be kind of a deeper green than a lot of plants. Hopefully the leaves are clean. You don't want to find yellowing on the leaves. The leaves might curl a little bit at the end, and that's fine, but you don't want to find highly deformed leaves or leaves with holes chewed in them, things like that. But really, if it looks like a healthy green plant, it's a healthy green plant.
Okay. Let's see. What else do we need to go over for this?
Well, let's see. We talked a little bit, just about any size of aquarium is fine. We talked about that, I guess, a little bit. Just any water changing regimen that you do for fish, about 20 to 40% twice a week, something like that, is fine for them. They're fine in any type of reasonable water parameters. If you can keep fish alive in it, you can keep Anubias in it, and they'll do fine. Anything from really soft to really hard, you know, really acid to really alkaline, pretty much they're happy. And like I said, the only fertilizer they really need is that trace element mix. If you're doing a more intense fertilizer regimen for faster growing plants in the same aquarium, they'll do okay there. You do need to pay attention to this, though. If you're doing a high fertilizer regimen for other plants in the tank, it's possible that the Anubias might not get enough of the nutrients because the other plants will sequester the nutrients right out of the water column before the Anubias get a chance to use it. So you might want to, you know, keep track of that. If you have a nutrient-rich substrate and their roots are going down into it, then that's going to be less of a problem, at least in my experience. Some people say that Anubias don't take any nutrients from their roots, and that they just absorb it through their other tissues, their leaves and stems and so on. I don't really know. I'm not into all that kind of stuff. How that works, I don't really know. I'm a hobbyist as far as that goes. But in my experience, if the roots are going into a nutrient-rich substrate, even if it's in, you know, a tank with plants with high light requirements, it does fine. But if it's not getting down into that substrate, it doesn't do as well. For what that's worth.
Okay, and let's talk about propagation.
Okay, propagation. Well, one thing you mentioned is the flowers. They do flower. They send up a stalk that's higher than most of the leaves, kind of a little pod at the end. It opens up and it looks like a little teeny
lily.
Like a little lily. Yeah, it's white and it's sort of cup shaped and it has a little spath that comes out the middle like a peace lily, except for much smaller. It's related to peace lilies, I believe. And it's kind of a whitish to off-whitish flower, and it'll last quite a long time underwater. It usually, in our goldfish tank, it goes for several weeks. You know, after it's bloomed, it'll stay there, and then it gets kind of soft, and the goldfish eat it off, mm-hmm. and so on. These flowers, unfortunately, do not pollinate underwater, so you're not going to get any seeds if you keep the Anubias underwater. People do have propagated them on with their roots wet and keeping the plants growing in air, and most of the plant growing in air, those will they can be pollinated and you can get seeds from them. But the most common way to propagate, and I haven't done that, I just have heard that can be done. The most common way to propagate them is just by division, and I've done that many times.
Just take a cutting?
Yeah, basically you take a cutting, simplicity itself. You find a nice healthy growth, because the rhizome just continues to trail and throw out more leaves and just keeps going forever. The older leaves, they'll eventually start to decay, and so you want to pinch those off periodically, but it takes a long time. It might take a couple of years before one of the leaves gets too old and you need to pinch it off. But the plant will start growing in different directions, the rhizome sort of twisting around and throwing out roots and grabbing onto whatever's around, whether it be gravel or driftwood or rocks, so on. So you just pinch off a bit of rhizome or cut it off with scissors. I usually use a pair of sharp aquatic pruning scissors and cut off a chunk of leaves. Might have 6 to 8 leaves on it, maybe more, maybe a little less.
How close to the rhizome do you need to cut the stem? Where should you cut it at?
Well, you can cut it anywhere as long as both sides have, you know, maybe 6 to 8 leaves, more or less. If you cut off a piece that's too small,
it won't.
Oh. It might not work all that well. But if you have enough there, and you should have some roots coming off of the part that you're cutting off as well.
Okay.
But if you do that, in my experience, I've never had a problem getting that to grow. You just merely wrap, you either let it float for a while, or you wrap those roots around a rock or something, and rubber band it or tie it on, and sink it wherever you want it, and it'll just start growing. And then if, you know, anywhere from a few weeks to a couple of months, you remove the rubber band or the thread or whatever, and you're good to go. You've got a new plant, and it goes like crazy. It's probably been about 5 or 6 years, something like that, since I got my first Anubias plants, and I have given away and sold several of them, quite a few of them, since then. At the time, I got 3 plants. One was smaller than the two of them, the larger ones, were about as small as the palm of my hand, or smaller. The third one was even smaller than that. And since then, I have had, I don't know, right now I have about a third of a 37-gallon tank. The bottom is completely covered with Anubias. I have 2 20-gallon tanks that are pretty much full of Anubias. And I have a couple other tanks with Anubias of varying sizes and degrees scattered in them. And I've given away and sold quite a bit of Anubias. I have plenty. It's a slow-growing plant as far as aquarium plants grow. It's not like an inch a day kind of plant. But you get a new leaf every couple of weeks when it's doing well. And so it grows, and it just keeps going. The only upkeep, if you don't have any algae growing on it, is really, you know, besides the fertilizing and so on, fish waste makes a great fertilizer for most things. You just need to add that trace element mix. As long as you divide it once in a while to keep it from growing into a huge monster, it does really well. If algae does grow on the leaves, a few things that'll help. Bristlenose placos are really good. Otocinclus are really good for eating it. I've noticed the olive nerites do a good job with it. Those all help keep the leaves clean. I have, a long time ago, I had some problem with some, it may have been black beard algae, it was something like that. And I decided to try the bleach treatment, where you put a diluted bleach solution in a container and then dip the leaves of the plant for a couple of seconds in it and then pull it out. And then you rinse the whole plant off really well. It's kind of a last resort sort of thing, and I haven't had problems with that kind of algae for years, so I don't know that I would even recommend doing this. But I did that, and the Anubias bounced right back. They did fine. The algae died, and the Anubias did fine. But I much recommend keeping ahead of the algae by using algae-eating critters, Anubias shrimp, Siamese algae eaters, olive nerites, bristlenose plecostomus, otocinclus. I have either have now or have had all of those, and they all seem to help, and the plant does great. So natural controls, keeping your water changes up so that you don't have to worry about excess nutrients in the water and so on, much better than trying any of those crazy treatments, which may or may not work for you, but they can be dangerous. And besides, I ruined a pair of pants that way, so there you go.
The bleach.
Yep. That's about it, I think, for Anubias. Right. It's a great plant.
Enjoy it.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Aquarimax Audio Show. For additional episodes, please visit aquarimax.com. For comments and or questions, please email us at info@aquarimax.com.